Oh, for Christ's sake.
Very sure I'll get a phone call about in the morning.
Next year.
He's gonna call us all in here and say, come on.
Yeah.
So, right here.
I was talking to Jamie, I was like,
the water plant, the reservoir.
I was telling her, so I wonder if one of these meetings, you're gonna see.
Building on that 5-year plan.
We work side by side.
Don't get that one too.
I was gonna say, you gotta go that one, so, we'll be watching.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like your belts.
Big dog.
What a mess.
It's a mess.
No other way to put it.
Homesick, he's gonna do Zoom.
And.
He's on Zoom.
Him and Susan both tested positive for COVID today. And she didn't come out and feed last night because she had a temp, she stayed home, but I saw her Sunday, but it's not like we, you know, shake hands or give a hug, there's no touching, so it's just like, well. Anyway, and they've only been like to Costco, and that's it.
That's it, Brad, are you looking at it?
So they don't. Don't know what the Costco on Sunday too, so it's just like, oh, that's good. So he's not coming.
The more or less turn left there, just go ahead. They walk on those ones.
On the rocks?
On the rocks, maybe if you were trying to make a backyard, so they dug out a little bit. So.
How are you?
Straight up, like the sliding door, the hillside just goes straight up.
Well, I'm good news is they're built on rocks, so that's good.
I was shocked.
Won't go anywhere.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Outside warm.
They were able to dig out.
It's real warm.
Yeah, most of the heat comes.
Seems that some of the houses up higher are getting some rock.
Which is down and then goes back up. Oh, isn't that something?
It was really good when that door was open.
Oh, yes.
Jacket on and I just decided.
Yeah, because that's what they're. Yeah, we went in the west side. Street head over the hill, went to the dip, we turned right, I'm like.
So I just turned.
Then when we left, I'm like. Yeah, I was like, wait, that's, that was pretty close to James.
Does anyone need to sign in?
So.
Does anyone need an agenda? And you have Marcy and Rick Ulrich are on Zoom.
Yeah, no, Marcy's on her way.
Okay.
All right, we'll call the Water Advisory Committee meeting to order, 3:03. Roll call.
Phillips here.
Baldwin here.
Wofford here.
Jensen here. And we got Rick and Marcy online.
Rick is here.
We hear you, Rick. Thank you.
Nadine is here.
So for this meeting today, the Water Advisory Committee will be taking no public comment at this meeting. We're here to listen to what McMinnville has to present to us. And so we're limiting our interactions with the Water Committee in McMinnville for this meeting. If the committee's all right, we'll just table the minutes. I didn't get them all put together yet.
Move you to a table spot. James, you have some room. There's a couple seats over there.
So with that, we're gonna turn it over to City of McMinnville.
Well, we were here yesterday, or I was.
I heard you.
So I guess the question is, what are you interested in talking about? What do you want to know about us?
I think I know I met with you guys a long time ago, almost a year ago, with Jason and that. I think just to bring the whole Water Advisory Committee up to speed on, you know, what McMinnville has to offer, what are some options, what are, you know, some things you guys see that might fit into our program, cost wise, you know, kind of short term, long term.
So I probably went through this yesterday, so you might hear some of this again. But so just so people know what our system is, we have two reservoirs. We have a smaller reservoir is what we call Haskins, which is 250 million gallons. And then we have McGuire, which is 3.25 billion gallons. So we have about 3.5 billion gallons of what we call raw water storage. And that's within our watershed. We own the basically the drainage for both of those reservoirs. We have two creeks. We have Idlewild and Haskins Creeks. So we can actually divert around the Haskins Reservoir if we need to. So we run basically off of our divert, off of our creeks and Haskins most of the year, except during the summer. And so, for example, for us, we started spilling water back in December. And so we've been spilling water since December. Our reservoirs were both full in December. We actually drained Haskins last month to do a dam inspection, and that should be refilled again. So it's been refilled. So we try to do the Haskins inspections every year. And then the dam safety comes out and does the McGuire, because it's what's classified as a high hazard dam. And so we rebuilt that back in 2004 to earthquake standards. So that one, I don't remember what the earthquake standard we built to, but it was at least 7.5. And then back in 2010, we upgraded our treatment plant. So our treatment plant is capable of producing 22 million gallons of water a day, with the ability to expand to 30 million gallons with the addition of two filters, filter 7 and 8. We have 6 filters currently, and that would be the maximum for that plant. That plant essentially would be designed for the estimated yield from the watershed, which is 30 million gallons a day. We then have two transmission mains. One is a 24-inch ductile iron. The other is a 16-inch combined steel AC pipe. And we have actually done eight phases to replace that line with a 36-inch ductile. And our goal there is to be able to take the entire yield of the watershed through that one pipe if we have to. And so,
can we do fully restrained on that?
It will be.
Yeah, it's fully restrained. So it's designed for earthquake as well. Then we store about 22 million gallons of finished water in McMinnville. We have 4 reservoirs, 10 million, a 7 million, and 2 smaller reservoirs that are about 3.5, maybe 5 total. And then recognizing that we have issues with our system because we are a single source, several of you guys, we actually back in 2009 started developing Willamette Water Rights, because that is really the only source left for Yamhill County. Groundwater is fully appropriated. There's no groundwater available. So we started looking at the Willamette. We obtained our first right on the Willamette in 2011. That was with the cities of Lafayette, Carlton, and Dayton, and Water and Light. Dayton subsequently dropped out. So it's Carlton, Lafayette, and Water and Light. And we formed what's called the Yamhill Regional Water Authority to keep that right. And that right for us is about 22 million gallons a day, but it's a junior right. So we went out and purchased a 1982 right. And then we actually just closed last month on a 1954 right. So our goal was to have a right that predated the fish persistent right, which is 1964. So we actually have a little over 30 million gallons of rights on the Willamette. And we have 30 million gallons of rights in our current watershed. So we total, we have about 60 million gallons of water rights available. Our current maximum daily in the summertime is about somewhere between 12 and 13 million gallons. Winter peak is about 3.5 million gallons. So that's pretty much how we our system operates. We also have purchased the intake site for the Willamette rights. So we actually have about 5.5 acres on the Willamette that we purchased from the county back in 2017. And so we have then actually done a study in that spot too. We have a deep pool there. It's about 45 feet deep. So we have plenty of depth to put an intake in the river. What we are looking at estimating is we would put in an intake that would be able to handle about 50 million gallons a day. So we would upsize the intake because once you build the intake, you want to have it big enough. And so if you ever need to come back later and upsize, we would already be there. And so our goal is to be able to supply water either through our Willamette right or through our existing system. And really the Willamette for us is redundancy because we do have just a single source. So we did that. That project is just an ongoing. The commission's goal is to do something every year so that when we get to that point, we need to build that plant. We're not spending everything up front. So currently we've spent about $7 million on developing these rights. We've got the two rights, property purchase, and then we did the intertie with Lafayette. So the intertie with Lafayette, we put in a 24-inch HDPE pipe, high-density polyethylene. And we upsized that water light, paid for the upsizing of that pipe. So we went from they went from 12 to a 24. So essentially four times the capacity of the 12 in anticipation that others may want to join on that. And that water line actually ties with Lafayette. Lafayette actually ties with Dayton. So there is the potential that Dayton could come on later. And then Lafayette contract, we have a contract with Lafayette currently, which is 21 years, and it is essentially for what we call surplus water. So their goal is to, when we build the treatment plant, they will actually take their primary water supply from the treatment plant, and that contract would then terminate, and then they would look at either a purchase agreement or they would be a buy-in to the treatment plant. But it's 19 years down the road now. So, and we don't anticipate building that plant until probably sometime 2025, maybe. It's a ways out. So our primary focus is right now is, I guess there's a number of them. We're doing engineering for our, what we call our zone 2 project. We're looking at engineering for our raw water line from the dam, and we're starting to do phases 3 and 4 of our transmission. And then the other thing we're working on right now is the purchase for a future water treatment site. And we would actually build a substation at that site, an electrical substation at that site as well. Just again, to give us that redundancy within our system. So if we have a substation there, we can potentially have our source right there. We'll have a generator, be able to back that up. The other thing, we're in construction right now on a fuel station because our generator at the treatment plant runs pretty regularly.
Yes.
You know, we have, we're up in the hills there. We're actually the end of the line for West Oregon Electric. And that generator is 800 kW, 3,000 gallons is what we store. And we're actually in construction for our own fuel station. So one of the things that we identified in our resiliency planning was the lack of fuel. All 90% of fuel in Oregon comes through the fuel depot in Portland, which is built on the mud flats. And we anticipate that there will not be fuel available. And we've actually seen that in McMinnville in some of the ice storms we've had and snowstorms. We were not able to get fuel. And so that was one of our big, we've been working on that for 5 years at least.
Or longer.
Right? Yeah. So that project's under construction right now. And of course, supply chain issues are causing a lot of delays in our construction. So but the bottom line there is that we actually own our own tanker, so we can actually deliver fuel as well. We have a 2,000-gallon tanker and hopefully that's going to be done in August, maybe sooner. And so
what's your storage capacity for fuel going to be?
It's going to be about 20,000 gallons for diesel and about 8,000 for gas.
Oh.
So
this last ice storm we had, we ran for 7 days without power at the treatment plant. So we burned about 2,000 gallons of diesel in that time.
What's your storage capacity up there at the treatment plant for like chemicals and stuff?
It's pretty substantial. Part of the thing for us is we actually generate our own chlorine on site, our own. We have caustic and we use rock salt. We actually use electricity to break it apart. So our concentration, 0.5%?
0.5%.
Yeah, so our concentration is 0.5%. So we generate our, we don't have chlorine cylinders. We don't have tons anymore. They were called. I don't know if you guys use.
Well, I know from Newburgh.
Yeah, the ton cylinders of chlorine, and that was a hazard, and so big time hazard. So we actually did away with that in the treatment plant upgrade we had in 2010. And so everything's generated on site. So basically it's the rock salt and the caustic. And I can't remember, I think it's at least 30 days, maybe 60 days is what we can store. So we have had trouble with getting chemicals in the last couple of years. Actually, there was a caustic shortage or
chlorine? It was chlorine shortage. We need caustic also.
Yeah, so there have been issues.
It wasn't as much the chemical as most of the trucking.
Right, it's getting it to the site. So we do have a backup plan for that. We actually can get diluted bleach if we have to, but we get 6%.
6%, yeah.
So we actually can get 6% solution, and then we can dilute that. So.
Your Willamette plant, you're looking at, I remember Rick from the other day, you guys are looking to pump, I believe it's right there at Mallard Lane.
Yep.
And then I draw water into
Mac. So our plan would be to build the intake and the pump station there and then pump the raw water to Mac and treat there. And so we're looking at building, it'd be a 36-inch pipe. And the treatment plan, what we're looking at is a 50 MGD plant built in 10 MGD modules. So it'd be essentially 5 10 billion gallon a day modules is what we're looking at.
A lot of water.
I guess for us, our next, I don't know if you've looked at, if we were to come to you and say we need water or can we get water, what would be the best route? I mean, getting treated water from you folks or raw water to?
Probably treated water. So I think if you're interested, the next step would be to have a conversation with our commission and get them to buy in. And I don't know what you, would you be looking at supplementing? A second source, those would be the questions. Primary source.
You'd probably get a second source.
Yeah, I think you'd want to keep your existing treatment plant.
I think we kind of talked maybe a little trickle, kind of like Lafayette's doing, a little trickle.
All the time.
All the time. And then I think in the past we looked at, we're like 11 miles.
Now that brings up a question. Did engineering ever reach out to you guys, AKS? And
it did. Shortly after the meeting, we had some conversations with AKS. They requested some data and some mapping. We sent it over to them. That was pretty much all the information that they needed, it sounded like. But there is, I mean, we have someone available if they have more questions.
Okay.
Well, I haven't heard if we need a pump station.
Yeah, I don't know if that was part of that conversation.
So where's the tie-in point if we were to come from Mac?
Metal Lake. That's where we identified it. The conversations we had internally, where we didn't have information on your system of where to tie in, but it was that Metal Lake.
We actually had we rebuilt our
Metal Lake.
Rebuilt our Carlton intertie and moved it up Panther Creek. We had an old intertie that was right there by Red Shot Lane.
Okay.
It's probably somewhere in that area is where our line crosses, but Panther Creek.
And I was just looking at our system. We sent it over to the engineer. We spoke with the engineer with AKS to kind of fit it with your system.
And we never heard back where that would, where that intertie, what their proposal was on that. And,
yeah, that was kind of like when we were just throwing ideas out.
Right.
Just conceptual. I do know from the engineering standpoint, you guys were a better connection point because of pressures, say so, than Hillsboro at the time. So that's about all I got.
Probably at that point, we might even be higher than.
Yeah.
Because we're that's getting towards the bottom. So
we can give you all that information.
Yeah. Okay. Next thing right there, you'd still have to come that little ridge to get.
I mean, what you need to look at is intertie is going to be in the final elevation. We, how many hills do we go over?
Lots of ravines.
Yeah, so we can, at some points in our system, we're generating 250 pounds because we're going downhill and back up. And so, because, we're at, 785 at the treatment plant. And then at the service reservoir, we're at 275, 278, somewhere in there.
John Christensen
is John. All
of you needed to
refer to him. Yeah, we were looking at that intertie at Meadow Lake / Panther Creek was probably the most logical point.
Was there any thoughts if we'd have to have a pump station from there over into our system? Or would
we hadn't advanced the study that far. I mean, at that point, ground elevation is about elevation 200, and the city is about at that same elevation, Yamhill. Just a matter of what we have to cross between those two points if a pump would be needed.
Where is the tie-in spot? Where is everybody? Where is he? Where are you thinking to tie it into the Yamhill's water system? Where would the thought process be?
Oh, you'd want to tie in town there, probably at Moores Valley, the Olive.
What's the size of line going out to the water district at Moores Valley?
4-inch pipe.
It's only a 4-inch line.
I would be surprised if it's bigger. That line going right out of town is an older line, right?
I know the one that they have out of Bailey's that runs out that way is 4-inch.
Ours is 4-inch.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the standard when they were putting it in.
We have a water district out.
It's really small. Yeah.
And that's where my question in my mind was, because we've looked at Hillsboro, and so Hillsboro tie would come from Cherry Grove and tie into our line coming to before our reservoirs. So it would be a really neat way to get it. And when your line's coming in, it's coming in more to the distribution side. And so we'd have to me, that's an issue. And if you're gonna think about a second another reservoir, maybe if you're gonna do this system, it'd be better to get a reservoir that would take care of this, the Mack Water Light, and put it somewhere else besides out there. But it's just a thought process in my mind how you're gonna make it work.
Yeah, exactly. You're on point there, Kathy. I mean, you'd have to build another reservoir out there.
Yeah. But if you were going to do that, you'd probably set the reservoir where your pump station is.
Yeah.
But we our clear well is about 600,000 gallons. So that's right at the treatment plant.
That's a bit pipe sizes for capacity as well.
Right.
Certain storage.
Is there any connection, intertie connections right up there at Haskins Creek and Meadow Lake, or is that?
No, I think we're about 130 feet deep there.
Oh.
We actually, back in 2015, put in a second pipeline under Meadow Lake. And so it was bored in. So we bored a 48-inch hole and then pulled back a 36-inch steel pipe. And
what we did is we kept that on a 1% grade so that it would never fill with water. So it's always on a downgrade. And then it pops out right on the, I guess, the north side of Panther Creek, about 800 feet from the intersection of Panther Creek, and I guess it'd be Meadow Lake, downhill side. And then we run to our valve shack on Haskins. And then it goes about another 900 feet we replaced, and then it goes back to, so it goes, it pretty much transitions right there by Carlton's water plant.
Just one question that came up. I don't know. We've talked about, we currently have 10 outside water districts, and we've limited those water districts to more, no more hookups. If we were to go your route, would there be any limitations on those outside water districts or adding to those, or?
I don't remember what our contract says.
So the districts was something that we had to discuss, probably most likely with the commission.
Yeah.
That's not addressed in the Lafayette contract or the Carlton contract.
I think they only have one or something, if I remember
right. Right. And there would most likely be some kind of limit or actual agreement.
So what we did is we limited the volume of water with Lafayette and Carlton. So the maximum water is that they can take is 500 gallons per minute. So that's their maximum.
And what are you using?
440.
Sorry. In the summertime at peak time? Or?
Our summer peak times are around 350. So, yeah.
So that wouldn't really affect any of that necessarily.
Yeah, 500 would be.
That's almost our max peak at like 515. So. That's a big difference.
That would probably be a question we'd want to know if the outside water districts and the ability to add more in the future.
So I think that would be, you know, if you get to that point, that's the discussion we'll have to start having with the commission.
I know there's a lot of need, not for outside. There's a lot of people that haul water every day, take a shower. And there's a water line within a few hundred feet of their place, but we can't add any more at this point, so.
And that's the other thing. We do have our own bulk fill station too. So we do sell water.
Yeah, I know. That. Gas is closer, so.
From here,
got hit pretty hard last year.
But everybody goes from Carlton, goes the other way.
Yeah, I know. I have one of my friends sells water sometimes out of Mac too, so.
As a second source, John, so what would we be paying per gallon on that, or is this just a bulk fee?
So the way our contract is structured with Lafayette, it's 1.5 times our residential rate, and then there's a minimum, I think it's $1,000?
It's $1,000.
Yeah, per month. So if essentially if you use less than $1,000 worth, it's $1,000. If you use more, then it's whatever the...
Is by the usage.
Usage at that point. And then there's a meter charge, I think.
There's a meter charge.
Any pros or cons?
Just a quick question on the agreement with Lafayette. Do they pay SDCs to Mac Water and Light?
No. So that's one of the things. We currently have no SDCs in our system.
Our SDC is labeled by the city also, the city limits.
Yeah.
Cost-wise, I know you guys kind of finance some of Lafayette stuff. What's the...
So...
I guess there was a benefit going that way for you folks.
Well, actually, I think it was for Lafayette more than us because we actually structured the payments based on their loan payments. And so for the first 3 years, I think they were only paying $69,000
of the 1.8 million. And what we structured, the way we structured the interest, it was the LGIP plus 2%. So local government investment pool plus 2%. So I think theirs is like at 2.5 or 2.6 or something is their loan.
But you guys did all, you did the project for them.
Yeah.
And then the project of pump station.
Right.
For them. They had to, they built their own pump station. And that was in, our piece was the most part, that was the pipe we put in there.
Right.
They had existing pipe out that they had to from the pump station.
They had an old well site that they had a 10-inch PVC pipe to. So they reused that. But then in that instance, Water and Light actually owns the pipe, not Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we actually ran the pipe to their pump station and then put a T so that we can actually tie onto it and continue it down the road. Somebody wants to continue.
You guys maintain that line to the pump, their pump station.
Yeah.
But they paid for the construction?
They paid for the construction, a portion of the construction. We paid for the upsizing.
Yeah,
of the
line. Yeah.
So we paid for, it was what, $2.5 million? We paid for $700,000 in the construction of the pipe construction, essentially. So their total loan was $1.8 million, I think.
We oversaw the design of it, the construction management piece, all that was done in-house for us for the construction management side. And we had a consultant assist us with the design.
Yeah. Well, after yesterday's meeting and all the funds that were thrown out, it was kind of overwhelming. And then to sit here and think about how many years it's going to take us to get a second water source of some sort and how the city's going to manage to pay for it other than user fees is, so a lot of stuff to figure out at this point in time and which is the better way to go. And
any rough ideas, this, what a 11 mile.
And what size pipe would you suggest? I mean, where would we start? How would you?
Well, I would start with your engineer. I would, it may be
6 inches.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be at least 8 to 10, just mm-hmm. because you've got such a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We just replaced our 10 with an 18 inch from the reservoirs.
Right.
And we've got an 8 in the treatment plant to the reservoirs.
Yes.
Yeah, keep in mind that that line's an 18 inch from the reservoirs down primarily for fire flow.
Yeah.
Your routine domestic flow at, 500 gallons a minute or less is, you could run that through an 8 or a 10 inch line without issue.
Yeah. Especially if you have a reservoir of storage.
Well, that's kind of how we got the 18 inch line. We ran in when the school added on, they could not meet fire flow. And so they had to upsize that 10 inch line. The school upsized to a 12 inch.
And then when they ran the line to Gaston, it looked like they ran HDP there. I remember driving through there a number of times and seeing the line laying out there. So. It looked like it was a 6 or an 8. I didn't look like it was very big.
Gaston, well, Hillsborough's looking at redoing their line from their Cherry Grove plant in the next 10 years. Is that right, John? 10 years or so?
Yeah, that generally from Fern Hill JWC plant out to the treatment plant on the Barney.
Yeah.
John, I hate to circle back, but your question in regards to the SDC funds, when we had our discussions with Hillsborough, they did have SDCs attached to their contract, correct? Or am I off base there?
I think we saw that.
It kind of depends on how the agreement is structured. So if you were coming to Hillsborough as a bulk customer, meaning they were going to be your primary source of water, then SDCs get involved. If you're looking to Hillsborough as an emergency connection to supplement your water supply in constrained times of year, that would just be sold on a unit rate of the water and not SDCs.
Thank you.
I hadn't heard that before, so that's new. I mean, anyway.
I mean, personally for me, John, I mean, I've always felt like, you know, you guys are a good way to go. I think it always just comes down to dollars and cents, you know, I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I always appreciate your time. I mean, now it's three times in on this, so.
And, you know, that's up to you guys. I mean, there are, you know, obviously at the end of the day, our commission is going to make a decision what happens there. You know, they're pretty, we do a lot of planning. We do a lot of forward
Yes.
thinking.
Yes.
Yes, and that's awesome. I mean.
So we're not planning for tomorrow. We're planning for 50 years from today.
Exactly.
So, you know, everything we do is based on that thought process is how we get to that point. So, I mean, you think about it, our watershed, we've owned that watershed for 100 years, or the majority of it.
We put in the McGuire, we did put the dam in, but we cleared it in the 70s, I believe, because I was in high school.
We pulled the rock up here when they raised it, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
So, John, I guess I can throw this out here. If you were sitting on this side of the table, what would be your thoughts, recommendations?
Well, okay, so I don't know, you know, I don't know about Hillsborough system, but, you know, in reality, there's, I think, isn't Hillsborough doing, maybe that was TVW.
That's TVW.
They were doing a joint plan with Wilsonville.
Yes.
So I don't know where Hillsborough's source. I don't know if that's Hag Lake, and I think they're tied in with Forest Grove.
Barney, and then they've got water rights off the Willamette. They're doing that 50 or 60 inch pipe from Wilsonville.
It's a 12.
Yeah,
Hillsborough's tied in with the Tualatin Valley Water District and a number of other West Side agencies on that big pipeline from Wilsonville.
So, you know, they're probably further along in developing their Willamette, right? But then they also have a lot more growth than we do. So,
yeah.
Our goal is obviously to keep developing over a long period of time so that those costs are not, you know, this huge $100 million treatment plan that we have to pony up for at some point where it's going to take, you know, a lot of bonds and a lot of time and effort. Our goal is to incrementally do things so that our rates don't suffer from that. Our commission's very, very cognizant, very aware of having large rate increases. And when I mean large rate increases, they're talking 5 or 6%. That's a large rate increase for more like 3% is what they like to see. So our water rates, I think right now we're at $1.70 in town per 100 cubic feet. So
third lowest in the state.
Yeah, we're second lowest in the state.
Cool. And that's probably because of all the pre-planning. Whoever started the program had like to see it out there as far as you guys have got it going, and it's kept going where most districts don't have that kind of.
Well, really, I think where it comes down to is cities have police, fire, water, wastewater, all these things, and they don't have time to focus on any one in particular. We focus on electric and water. That's what we do, and that's all we do. And so that, I think, gives us a tremendous advantage over others because we don't have to worry about going to the city council to do things. We and our commissioners are educated about our issues, and so they focus on the utility, and that's what we do.
You get like a email thing. I'm not faulting anybody that is here, but you're getting your mayors, they're volunteer people. So how are they going to be educated enough to make some of these decisions or figure some of this out is my question. I mean, I don't feel like I'm educated enough to make a decision for how Yamhill's gonna, I can give them my thought process, but that's.
Well, and you think about it, we have commissioners that have been on our commission for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's a volunteer commission.
Really?
Yeah, they don't get paid for that.
Wow.
But their focus is the water and electric utility. Mm-hmm. We don't stray from that. We don't get involved in the politics of the other parts of the city. It's just water and electric. That's what we do.
And there's one aspect of it is getting the pipe in the ground, but the other aspect is long-term, like the relationships too. I mean, whether it's Hillsborough or Yamhill Water and Light, those relationships are pretty important.
Yeah, because being a water district person, I don't like that subs, whatever the word is that's in there that says basically you're surplus water. And when you run out of that surplus water, we don't want you anymore. And that's a concern. I mean, for the city or for whatever we decide to do, we can't be, well, we don't have enough water to give you this year, so we're gonna shut you off. So it's not a really nice feeling, actually. So I think that needs to be looked at when they're making the decision, is what the end agreement's gonna be.
Long term.
Yeah, long term, more than by the time we get it done 10 years or 15 years from now, we'll be looking at, now what do we do next? Because we're not thinking that far ahead. It's like Neckwater Light is that far.
And so I think part of the problem with cities is you put the pipe in the ground and you tend to forget it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, oh, now it's leaking. Now what do we do?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, like for us, we actually have our own internal crew replacing pipe every year. Now, you know, we still have pipe, you know, we have a pretty good size main break, you know, a month ago. 12 inch, it was cast. And so, you know, over 70% of our system is ductile iron. We have almost no PVC in our system. And what's left is cast. And that's what we're actually starting to replace now is the cast. Because cast is unpredictable. When it fails, it pretty much, you know, it just goes. So we just, you know, focus on that. And we figure if you're doing something every year, at least do something to get, you know, plan your work and work your plan. And so replacing that pipe, you know, is key. It needs to happen. It happens on a regular basis. And so when we see a pipe break or a main fail, we identify that and we start looking at replacement of that. Because the thing we don't want to have happen is have that second one.
And we're pretty aggressive on the pipe replacement program. Some smaller communities would do like a design 1 year and, you know, implement that design the following year. So every other year, we put some new pipe in the ground, chipping away at it.
That's sort of funding purposes.
Yeah. So we're doing about 3,000 to 5,000 feet a year, pretty much every year.
But it's done in-house. You're not hiring a contractor or paying prevailing wage job for Yamhill, right?
Not for just
not line replacement.
No.
But I mean, and that's just our internal. And then we do other pipe now. Right now we're a 3 mile lane bridge that is being replaced in McMinnville. We had a contractor do about half a mile?
Yeah, about half a mile, but it was in the evening. It was at night work.
Yeah, so. We had to do night work. So yeah, that's an interesting. Oh, working with ODOT.
That was looking for ODOT.
But I mean, so, you know, we're putting a pipe on the bridge, the new bridge, a 12 inch water main, and then we're going to abandon about 1600 feet of cast. It goes under the river. So we have no idea if we're raising the river level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we can't inspect it. We just don't know. I mean, I don't think we are, but our water loss numbers are so low, you know, we're 5 to 6%.
That's awesome. Can't believe that number.
So
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, you know, we're always watching that number. So,
you guys, I know during the creamery fire, did you guys notice any issues in the water?
We used about, I think they used about, what did we estimate, 2 million gallons?
This is a little over 2 million gallons.
Yeah, it was like 2.2 million gallons on that fire.
No phase.
Our reservoir level dropped.
Yeah.
But we just picked up production, and so.
All anything.
Well, my move to make
well, if you can find a house.
I know we spoke with the city manager at Lafayette, but just so the folks here know, just kind of let them know how long that project took to even, you know, the starting phase of it, the discussions to get to that final point, just so everybody kind of has a real awareness of something of that magnitude takes.
I think it was about 3 or 4 years. We started, we signed the agreement in 2019. Well, we actually had the pipe in. They were taking water in 2020. So it was about it. Once the agreement was signed, it was March of 19, we had water to them in July of 20.
It takes a lot of time for us to get things going, do the commission process and but the planning and everything. But once it goes, it's rough. But Trina found letters from 1980 for the
day. Yeah, they actually asked for water back in 1984, I think.
So there's a long history of.
If we looked at this like in a two-phase project, kind of your thought, we did the pipeline and just tied into our distribution for now and then added the reservoir.
Right. You probably need to add the pump, you have the pump station and the pipe.
If you did that, say phase one, and then that way we at least get some water a little sooner, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with what Brian's saying, just so I understand. So, say we did do it in phases, hypothetically, could we lock in the construction rates so we don't see that 3% the next year, that 4%? Could we say we started, you know, at this price the next year, we're not going to go if construction costs go up 3%? We're not going to endure that.
3% is not going to happen. It's
11. This stuff increases up to 40% on some of the materials somewhere.
So I'll give you an example of some price increases. We just this morning our commission approved an emergency procurement for what we call pad mount transformers, a little single phase green box transformer, go in subdivisions. Prices last year were about $1,800 per transformer. We got quotes of $15,000, so 5 to 8 times the price.
There's not going to be no guarantee on your construction costs.
There's no guarantee. Yeah.
It's going to be low bid. And then what you're going to look at is the type of material.
Yeah,
versus HDPE. I can get a better cost out of HDPE.
And it'll go faster.
And a lot faster.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just well sections together and real. It was what we started March on our project for Lafayette. We were done by
July,
end of June, actually.
Yeah, end of June.
And we were actually seeing procurement problems then because we were having issues getting valves. So we actually to keep the project moving, we actually eliminated valves because they could not get some of the valves in the time frame we wanted. So we just eliminated. I think we actually moved one or two too.
We moved a couple of them, but we put spacers in there. So in the future, we can go back and drop in valves. We need to, but some delays with the materials.
But the good thing on that size, if it's 8 or 10, is the materials, the valves are gonna be easier to get. They don't necessarily need to be butterfly like we were buying for the 24. They're just gate valves, and so. No standards, once you go over 12, you go to 24.
The engineering, though, I think, I mean, for your district, guys, is thought process working with AKS and kind of figuring out the alignments for both the Hillsborough or McMinnville, it shouldn't be that much challenging. It's, I mean, you'll have your construction costs and your engineering costs tied to those, but then just trying to get it figured out, the alignment piece would be important. I'm assuming you guys have some kind of time frame and kind of some goals set there to get to where you want to get to, but weigh those options. We got to weigh and weigh the options and kind of figure out what's the best direction to go with that.
The big piece is going to be funding.
Yeah,
that's the big. Currently, we have city has several loans for the water treatment plant now.
So an outstanding wastewater.
Outstanding with wastewater, and then this new 18-inch line. And so they're pretty much.
Line capacity is tapped out.
Tapped out. And so.
And the worst line is still yet to be replaced.
Yeah, the one from the.
One from the
treatment plant.
Out to the reservoirs. I mean, that section of the line is older than God. And it needs replaced too.
What
so.
Is it? PVC or is it PVC?
From the 70s, 60s, 70s. It's the funding piece is the big hurdle that you've got to try and figure out.
One of the things that strategies we've done is buying pipe over time, buying sections of lifts of pipe. So that when we get to that point, we have some of the material. And then, so for example, our diversion line, we actually got some pipe. Actually, somebody gave us some 30-inch pipe, I think, wasn't it, or 36?
We had some 30-inch, I think.
And so, but ductile, and so we actually just bought sections of pipe until we were ready to do that and just stored them. So that's one of the things that we've looked at. We've actually increased our inventory of material just because of the lead times.
Mm-hmm. You do with the raw water?
Yeah.
Oh, that's diversion. That is, 36. There's some 36 up there.
Yeah, the diversion line. I think it's 36 and 24. Yeah. Maybe some 30 in there too. But that's, so just buying it and having it there, even if you're only changing a few sections with your own, I don't know or not to do that.
Yes. It's limited, with experience and staffing right. At the same time. It's equipment, so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, you're exactly right, though. I mean, to start to build up our distribution system and our parts, I should say. Yeah. So.
A little bit every year, that's what we've done. And same thing with the electric side. Now, we're both electric and water, so we do the same thing there as well.
I did have one more question. You noted some really low water loss numbers, which is great. What's your meter replacement cycle? What kind of life are you getting out of your customer meters?
So right now we're in the process of changing all of our meters to ERTs, going to remote reads. We go through in, 15 to 20 years is what we replace. So somewhere in that 15 to 20 year time frame. But we also, all of our meters are read, hand read right now. So if we see anything, the meter slows down, we see leaks. The way our software is set up, if we see a spike in water use, we'll actually call the customer and say, hey, we think you got something going on, a leak here. And so those things help to reduce the numbers.
And that's a pretty automated process that reports are kicked out that flag when there are increases in customer usage.
Yep. Increases in their average usage. And then we have meters at the treatment plant and the service reservoir. And so we're actually looking at those too to make sure that they match fairly close. And if they don't, then we go look for leak.
What's it cost for a new meter for those meters?
Size, because we have up to.
Just for a residential meter.
$250. And typically, obviously, they slow down over time. I mean, that's the failure mode. The bearing or whatever gets worn. And same thing we used to see with electric meters. They always slowed down. So the customer always benefited.
Our meter broke one time and you could take the top off, but it would stop turning, and then you set it back down, and it would go again. And I thought, we replaced it, and I thought afterwards, I have it sitting on my counter in my office. I should have just took it off for half the time. Because I didn't realize that I just found a flabbergasting that you could just pick it up.
It's usually like a screw, there's like one screw.
Yeah, that broke off. The mower guy hit it and knocked it off, and all the well McKenzie.
Yeah, we have a pretty intense meter testing program also in regards to the larger meters, and then for replacement, we replace quite a bit of our smaller meters. I mean, budget-wise, we this next year we have 400,000 just for meter replacements in there.
And so City Mac, you guys own your meters, residence does not own. Because our rural districts, our meters, we charge them to the person. Each user is supposedly owns their own meter and backbone valve, which... If we go to something like this $250 to $300 piece program, we might have to revamp that a little bit because we'll see.
Do you guys see any advantage like in regional buying? You have several groups going together.
Buy parts and materials. We haven't really done much of that on the water side. The electric side tried doing that, but the problem was that everybody had a little bit different spec.
Oh.
And so, one wanted something a little different than the other. It tended not to work well. I think we may start seeing more of that over time just because the material costs are going up so much.
And then to be able to find, I know that West Yamhill got some parts, pieces from the city that they were having trouble finding because they were replacing their meters with the digitals, right?
Correct.
And so...
Angle stop valves.
Yeah, man.
The valve ahead of the meter and the angle stop valve.
Yeah,
angle
stop.
Yeah. So water lights gets, if City of Yamhill comes, we piggyback.
I think that state law allows that. If we go out for procurement, anyone can potentially procure off of those.
I do it all the time on fires. So
yeah, it's the same. That's the same law.
Yeah, just didn't know if the city of water might would have any issues. Some,
as long as the vendor doesn't mind up in the quantity, which we got a lot from, was it Consolidated and General Pacific? I don't know if you know who they are. They're a water and electric distributor.
But pretty large quantities. So.
Yeah.
So if you're ever interested, just let us know. Right?
Yeah. And fittings and
kittings and all kinds of repair bands. Yeah, lots of good stuff.
We don't do a lot of PVC, so we don't have a lot of PVC type stuff. But the problem with PVC is it just cracks longitudinally along the pipe, and so you can go for a long way before cutting it.
Transmission and PVC.
Yeah.
HTP would have
been
much more flexible.
Yeah, got a lot more deflection, deflection points and so on. Just to go back, I know Kathy had the question with the water districts and not being able to expand. You know, say we do get the redundancy of Mac Water Light, would that allow us as a city to increase our UGB? Or would you guys look at that and say,
So what happened with Lafayette is actually we just supplied a quantity of water and a maximum, and then they actually expanded their UGB. So they're actually in the process now of building, I think it's a 235 lot subdivision.
Oh,
wow. So because they were left, because they got water, they had a moratorium essentially, they couldn't build anything in. Trying to remember if that was within their UGB or if that was without. I think it might have been existing within the UGB. They couldn't do that because they didn't have water. So we are more interested in the quantity, not what's happening as far as maximum quantity.
Well, what would you say future the max quantity TM would be able to obtain from water and light?
So one of the
years from now,
one of the things that the reason we did what we did is because it was anticipated that
when the regional plan was constructed, Lafayette would move to that. So that's why it's a surplus water sale. And so that's part of the whole Yamhill Regional Water Group. And so Carlton is essentially the same way, except they will be taking water from us through the intertie they have, because it's too far to run from the Willamette source. So basically it's just gonna be, yeah, they will buy in, but their water delivery point will be at our essentially intertie with them, which is off of our Haskins source, not off the Willamette. But they're a partner. They've actually obtained rights on the Willamette as well. So really what it is it's essentially a transfer of water, saying, okay, you're going to be a partner in this plant, but we recognize that your point of delivery will be over here.
Now the intertie with Carlton. You know, Carlton runs their own stuff. Would there be any issues kind of routing through them to us?
You mean wheeling water through Carlton?
Yeah, I mean, because they've got a water district. I mean, their line ends right there about the fire hall, and then they have a water district that it's right across the road from our water district out here, but it's only, I think theirs is a 2-inch.
I think we talked about that before. I don't think there'd be enough capacity through their system. I think that might be part of the
issue. Maybe the slowdown I didn't know what their line coming down.
I think they just replaced their transmission line. I think they've got a 10-inch now coming from their treatment plant to their service reservoir. But
from the reservoir in is?
I think they replaced that too. I don't know the size. I know they did it because they got a grant to do that.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was a 12 or a.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. I think that's the limiting factor then.
Yeah, I would have problems seeing that's going to work through the distribution lines, because I know the person that takes care of the Carlton lines they had trouble. They had water loss and they didn't know where it was coming from. So I would say that would not be the best decision unless it was an emergency situation, because I think there's something going on with that line that's not correct.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they've got going across the bridge there as you come in.
Oh, into Carlton,
They have to attach to the bridge there to get across.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they did there. They replaced that or it was existing.
I haven't seen them doing any work there.
Probably their best bet would be looking at the tie at Meadow Lake and Panther Creek. Right there and running. They're running down Meadow Lake to
Service Route. Is I have to look at the map, an aerial map to see what the service route is.
So that we have the reservoir on the other side.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, John?
As far as the shortest route to Mack Water and Light?
Yeah.
Can we just make it all airborne or something?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly down Meadow Lake, and then it's a matter of you could go up McBride or West Side. Either way, they're pretty similar lengths. It's roughly 8 miles.
We went McBride and Rockyford. That's all gravel, so it'd be a little cheaper.
Yep.
Construction-wise. I think any spots out there is kind of big enough hill to put a reservoir on.
Start looking.
Unfortunately, I think Carlton just paved most of Meadow Lake Road when they replaced their transmission line last summer.
For at least half a lane.
Yeah.
You guys had to do the whole lane out here, right? You did the whole road, basically.
No, we did a half.
Half?
Mm-hmm.
So
So thoughts, where do we go to next?
We know it's
about roughly 10 million to go north. We got to put in a pump station. Right, John?
Yeah, we definitely have to pump from Hillsborough. I think at this point we need to look at operational costs. We can comprehend the hard costs pretty easily with based off the route and what we think the pipe size will be. But it's the longer term. What's it going to cost to buy water from each entity? And that will help us guide our decision on which agency to kind of take this to the next step with.
Probably we would meet with the commission and talk with them and see what their thoughts. When do they meet?
Meet every third Tuesday of the month.
What time?
5 o'clock.
Water and light.
If you just email us, we'll set up an appearance request.
What would you say? You just kind of put a request in that we'd like to.
Yeah, just tell us when.
So that would, you're going to include council in some of this, or mayor at least, or something, or what are we doing?
Well, we've let them know. I think we're still in the preliminary, just gathering information, and the commission might tell us you're all wet.
Well, it'd be nice to be able to try to get some kind of an answer on what we need for the city and the outside water districts, and if that's going to work, be acceptable or not, and growth.
It would be good to have your plan together, long term, what you're looking at doing, whichever way you go. I think part of what gave the commission comfort was the fact that Lafayette and Carlton are part of our WIBER group. And so we meet whenever we meet on that group. It's not a set meeting, but it's usually pretty short because after we put the intertie in with Lafayette, the intertie with Carlton, most of what we're doing right now is acquiring water rights, property, looking at that long-term vision of what it's going to look like at some point. But it would probably be good for Amhill to have some type of, at least maybe think about joining the group and looking at what potential rights or what they would want to do on the Willamette, because that would be really like a transfer for us.
Is there a cost to be on that?
Actually, it's very minimal. I think really the only cost we've had right now is we've been participating in the Willamette reallocation study with Hillsborough. And so the group has shared those costs, but it was like $2,400 for the three entities. Water and Light paid $1,800 of it. So, it's... And I don't know if you know what the reallocation is. That is the stored water on the Willamette. So basically, there was a number of, it was municipal, irrigation, fish and wildlife all had allocations. That was all jimmied around a little bit and reallocated to the different purposes, essentially. And so then the next step on that was, okay, who wants the water? The problem with that is the water is very expensive. They're talking about $2,400 an acre foot. So you multiply your math there and it's pretty expensive. So that was one of the reasons why we went and got a senior right, is because we can take water all year long and not have any restrictions. So we can take 5 million gallons a day, every day. And we don't have a restriction on that, right?
So that was why we looked at that right, is because our 2011 right has a fish persistence issue with it. And how many days did we have where that would have been shut off?
180 days.
I think the worst year we had was what, 2015 or something?
15, I don't want to say 13, but it was like
15. One of those years. We had 180, I think it was 182 days where we couldn't take water with that right. But in our case, that's okay because now we have two senior rights for 10 million gallons. Plus we have our other water off the our own watershed. So we still have 40 million gallons that we can draw. So that was the whole idea of having that redundancy, is we can pull from this source or we can pull from that source, and we can move those things around when we need to. So, you know, really what it comes down to is Yamhill interested in becoming part of the Wyra group? Because that will then give you opportunity for that. Okay, now we can start having the conversation about, well, at some point Water Light's going to build a treatment plant. Does Yamhill want to have that? Yamhill has that buy-in that will probably make surplus water available to Yamhill from us.
Rick?
Please. What's the thoughts of the committee to recommend to the council to look at joining that? I think we need to join something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either north or south, you got to join one of those regional water.
Did Hillsborough ever, they didn't really spit out a regional water.
Sorry, the fax is coming through. Sorry.
Yeah, Hillsborough kind of looked at it from the perspective of between Hillsborough and the JWC, which they're a part of, Yamhill was never going to constitute a significant water consumption from their production. So there wasn't any real value for at joining that group versus here with Yamhill County. You would be a significant stakeholder here, potentially.
Maybe we should make the recommendation to council to look into joining.
Join that.
Yes. It would be doing something.
Maybe I missed it, John, but what would be the buy-in at that point? Is there any guesstimation of what the cost would be?
You mean the buy-in to become part of the group?
Yeah.
There's no buy-in cost. You would not have any, obviously, any rights because the group has already gotten purchased. Well, and actually, we did not purchase the 2011 right. Was not a purchased right. It was actually, we went to ODFW and acquired the right. So the cost for that was essentially the time we hired GSI, Groundwater Solutions, to do that work for us at that time. And so that was when the four entities were together. And Dayton dropped out, I'm gonna say in 2013 or 14, I don't remember exactly when. Their issue, they thought it was gonna be too expensive, but in reality, where are you gonna get water if you wanna grow?
Yeah, would be closer, correct?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're closer than us to the Willamette, yeah. So they're only a couple miles from the Willamette. But and they have, I believe they may have a intake site, but again, they don't have the funds to develop a treatment plant.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we looked at is the Water Light has roughly 12,000 connections. Our largest customer consumes about 1 million gallons a day. And so, you know, we have the resources to build something. The smaller cities don't have those resources.
No.
And so what that does for us, though, the smaller cities help to offset some of the cost. That's really good. And so as part of that governance structure, the Water and Light general manager is the general manager. Myself is the general manager for the wider group as well.
Rick, any comments, questions?
No, I'm pretty good with most of it, but one of the things we definitely need to remember is at some point we're going to have to
shut off our water and clean out that impoundment. And they have the capacity to cover that for us.
Yeah.
Which, if you have a 500 gallon program, we don't usually use that. So,
yeah,
except for how to distribute, how it's going to run through the distribution system, kind of backwards. But it might cause real issues with the people between treatment plant and the reservoirs.
So if you were bringing in water from the other side, you could limit the increased flow from this side to, because you're going to dredge that during the summer.
Yeah,
you'll have it in the water work window.
Yeah, what's
that? Probably June through September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. You need water the most.
Exactly. Yeah. It's every time, isn't it?
So, but if you had the other side set up, you were bringing water in from this side, we could probably get by having enough come down, not have to rely on the impound.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still have to maintain the natural stream flow even when you're doing the dredging activity. So there's still water in the creek.
It sounds like 27 homes up there.
Yeah.
Paul, anything? We want to make a motion to recommend to the council that they look at joining the McMinnville Carlton Lafayette Regional Water.
Yes,
I second it.
Excuse me, second was by Jason?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the motion again?
To recommend to council to join the...
What's the initial again?
Wyoming. Anvil Regional Water Authority.
Thank you.
I'm
going to write it down.
Get a vote.
Aye.
Walford aye.
Chinson aye.
Nadine aye.
Ulrich aye.
Okay, we will make that recommendation to council at the next meeting in May. Any last thoughts, John, Rick, Marcy, anybody? Or we let McMinnville go home?
No, just for the next meeting. John knows which one I'm going to next.
I don't have anything.
No, I think that I've got just all the confusion and overwhelming I can do for a couple days.
Process.
Well, that's the part. It's the process, not a process that make it sense to figure out which is the best way to know.
Laying in bed and waking up at 3 in the morning and going, oh.
I've got enough of that going on. I mean, yeah. Who's not going to show up for work?
Yeah, I think our next, he'll really put together a plan and then get on the agenda with the commission and just present our thoughts and what we're thinking about and if there's interest or not interest to all ideas we're looking at. I mean, the outside water districts are going to play a big part in that, but it would probably be we're probably a month or so away from getting anything
ready. As far as our discussion points, we're pretty full up on the next meeting next week. We got a lot on the agenda at the moment, so.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So we're probably May, June. We're probably maybe by June.
After a June meeting or something.
Have something that go to the commission and get. We'll recommend to the council at their next meeting to join that regional group and get involved with that.
Give it one rep from each entity. So we have a commissioner on from our board is on there, Preston, and then city manager from Carlton, Sharon. Shannon.
That probably, whoever our city manager becomes, that would probably be the person to be on there.
We're still looking for that at the moment, right? Sending a city manager person.
Do we want to spell that out in a recommendation to council that the city manager be the rep?
Maybe we should wait and see who that is. I don't know.
We just suggest to join the group.
We'll suggest to join the group and see what happens. Mm-hmm. See if they throw us out. All right, thank you guys. Appreciate you coming. Appreciate the information and hopefully we can move forward here.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Maybe just have any objections. Do we want to table everything else that we have on our list? And
the only thing I would like to discuss a little bit is we never have finished any kind of update with this, what the city of Hillsborough, as far as any kind of letter or anything with them, and maybe asking the question. I mean, I thought that the SDC funds were a for sure thing, but John says there's maybe a different way of going about that. We would have that in the, you know, that would be part of the cost process. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to be able to get an answer to that with what the city of Hillsborough would cost besides the line, if there's going to be SDC funds charged or not, before we can make any kind of decision as to which direction you're going to go.
Well, and I think also with Hillsborough, that letter of intent needs to be filed with them just to keep your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We can't just not stop. We got to keep.
I mean, whether we do anything or not, Hillsborough just put that letter of intent in there so that we have our foot in the door and they don't.
I mean, I love what McMinnville Water and Light brings to the table, but logistically speaking, that Hillsborough situation, just the way that line runs for that redundancy and that emergency aspect, is huge. I mean, it's just. Yeah, just putting that back out there.
I think that Mac Water might
still to look into before we make the decision.
Yeah.
And then you have the cost savings with reservoir too, because we could just build our new reservoir.
Hazard mitigation grant. That's for the bigger tank, right?
1.6 million gallons.
Which we lose from over there to over there to save cost, right? Yeah, one time they were talking about putting it out here at
Chaffee's old place. Just before we can even come close to putting a plan or decision as to which direction, we got to have more answers on some of it before.
For me, of course, I feel like council needs to catch up to us.
I know.
It's just like we're light years in front of them right now. I haven't really, to be honest with you guys, just to give you guys an update, I haven't heard any updates on the log jam. I haven't got back anything for the conservation plan. I'm kind of waiting on the green light for, I mean, if people just can okay the leak detection, I don't know if they wanted to wrap that into the conservation plan.
so on and so speak. So I just kind of like, for me, you know, it's like, what, where are we going?
So do you think it's funding? You think that's why there's an hesitation on everything?
Apparently with the conservation plan, that's what I can speak to in general. I personally, working with OAWU, I feel like they're going to give us the best price because they are kind of a nonprofit. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're doing their due diligence for this community, not for themselves in a sense. So I don't know how much we want to shop that around. And there again, you know, going back to this grant process, like being part of that water task force meeting yesterday, is like, we have to be shovel ready, grant ready. And that gives us another piece of that puzzle that we can throw out there. So yeah, we have a conservation plan. Plus this,
yeah,
plus
all
the,
that,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
it's,
that's what I got out yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, we don't have any of these ducks in a row.
No, so and that's the sad part, right? Is like everybody else seems to be trending upward, and
we're just sitting here
an idle. Yeah. So
what was the meeting yesterday?
Oh, it was just a gathering of, you know, the heads, the people that have been involved with, you know, wild soil conservation, water treatment, water conservation. I mean, it's
like countywide.
County state.
There was state water. Yeah, the water master was sitting there.
Yep.
Joel, it was pretty interesting.
It was actually. I mean,
I went away swimming. I'm God, how do you figure that all out? I mean, and it's not, and again, I'm not faulting staff of Yamhill, but for a small town to have half their, all their mayoral, all that stuff is a volunteer job. Unless you're going to pay buku bucks for that great city manager type person that can knows how to take care of all that, you're sitting here twiddling your thumbs because it's so overwhelming with the information that's out there.
I'm just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
There's somebody, I mean, I know everybody here is greatly involved with it, but I feel like I look at all these other communities and I see where they're getting traction is having that city manager.
City manager that knows.
Just all they do, exactly.
Focus on what is out in front of you, and not right now. City VML is just basically taking care of all the little issues that keep popping up. They're not.
So
and on the new business, on this chart for the 5-year deal, who put that together?
That was. We were going to work on getting numbers.
So the daily intake and the daily discharge, I mean, don't you want to just, wouldn't that just need to be monthly to coincide with the rest of your monthly numbers?
Well, that was all talking points.
Yeah.
What we wanted on there.
And there's nothing on here about, it doesn't have any usage for in-town usage listed. That's because you're going to have that number. It's missing some stuff. So.
So. It works. We table all this till our May meeting. We are going to meet next Monday at 3 to do the ordinances to go through those so that we can get them out so council can have them get them out Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is that open to everybody on your Monday meeting?
Yes.
The Monday meeting will.
Thank you. Back to
So
we just want to make sure they had time to talk.
Anything before we adjourn? Once, twice, we're adjourned.
Thank you, Brian. Where are you headed? What's the fire alarm? Come on. Let us
know. It's a residential fire.
Residential fire? What area?
Cedar Street.
Cedar.
Oh, South Cedar. Cedar.
Yeah, South Cedar.
Oh.
We also have a meeting for
that
today,
as well.
Yes.
Too many volunteers.
Next week, she's a special to get the ordinance. We can get it a week ahead so you get it to council. So.
I can scan it and give it to them.
Yeah.
It's
just
dates
to 2017.
So when you guys normally keep track of your water in and out program,
you can do that how often?
No, it can be excited.
Okay, so one, I'm 2 7/10 miles out.
Yeah.
Right. It's